Hey, welcome to the Only the Better Stuff podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And boys, I tell you, everywhere I go, I can't go anywhere in this town without hearing somebody talk about this podcast, this new podcast called Only the Good Stuff. So in true podcasting fashion, I thought we would take that concept and we would run with it. The way this is going to work today, boys, we're just going to very simply talk about three things that we're enjoying right now. So that's the concept. Very simple, quick and easy. Big R, where are you joining us from today, baby?
Fellas, I am in a beautiful downtown Canonsburg, PA, which is right outside of Pittsburgh.
Canonsburg. Traveling.
Beautiful Canonsburg.
You must be traveling, that man. Oh, that's exciting.
Is that like a bedroom community for Pittsburgh?
It really is, yeah. And I'm just I'm kicking it quite old school now in a beautiful Homewood Suites right outside of the
Is this hipster church planning cohort business or is this golf shirt denom business?
No, this is clearly golf shirt denom business with myself and myself looking sort of like the oddball in the mix, if I dare say.
So yeah. there's no catered quinoa salads at this function.
No. This would be, on that level, this would be a lot more enjoyable as the craft service is just filled with just a cornucopia of like bad but delicious food. Yes.
There you go, baby.
Heavy on the pierogies.
Yeah, that's coming later, obviously, with lots of fries in between.
That's right. Oh, Pramani Brothers sandwiches. That's my favorite thing.
There it is, man. That's it right there.
Well, Pipe, since you dived, I can't talk. Guys, I'm having a horrible day. Can I just come right out and say that?
Oh, Big T, man, you know what I was going to mention? That you sound like horrible day, Big T. Share that with us.
What's going on?
I feel glum. I feel tired. I'm like low-grade sick. Like all my classes have sucked today. It's just not great, man. It's not a great one. So not one for the ages. Man.
You need a V2.0, man, is what you need. You know?
Yeah, I do, man. I do. Whatever that is.
Yeah, so version 2.
Needless to say, we're not going to start with me. I would be hard-pressed to find three good things in my life today. So, Pipe, we're going to start with you, baby. Let us know what you're enjoying lately.
Well, since we're recording this on a very specific day, the thing that I am enjoying right now on Twitter while I'm supposed to be paying attention to you guys is the NBA trade deadline. That's what I'm enjoying. I enjoy any trade deadline for any of the major sports. And that can kind of roll into draft season because it's also NFL draft season as well. You know, we're heading into that. So that is a category of things that I just find huge enjoyment in because of the rumors and the hubbub and the excitement and the fact that humans get treated like property and just so many exciting things.
Now, Pipe, I want you to suss that out a little bit because I feel the same way. I really do like the NBA trade deadline. And I think the NBA one is the best because you really get like significant moves happening with significant guys and the kind of moves that can change the course of the second half of the season. Now, I want you to talk about your favorite move so far and why it's your favorite.
Well, as of you know, based on what I'm seeing on Twitter, the biggest move by far is still DeMarcus Cousins getting traded by the utterly inept Sacramento Kings to the New Orleans Pelicans for Buddy Hield and a bag of chips. I think was the trade.
I agree. Crazy.
Yeah. Speaking of crazy, Boogie Cousins is utterly insane, which makes him always enjoyable. You never know if he's going to, you know, punch a referee or like spit on a child or, you know, or hug a lady in the front row. And now he's pairing up with Anthony Davis to be probably the two most skilled big men in the NBA on the same team. That's kind of insane. So that's exciting. I haven't seen anything else that's remotely close to blockbuster level yet, but just the possibility of it is so fun.
Absolutely. How do we do this? Big R, do you want to hear all three of Pipes or do you want to go like one of each guy and go around that way?
You know, I'd be okay if all we heard were Pipes today and if we could just sort of vamp, you know, back and forth, Big T, me and you with Pipe on, because I do think that Pipe is he's a little bit more optimistic than the two of us today.
I hear a little despair in your voice too.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Today's rough.
Yeah,
it's a rough day today. It's a little rough. Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting in conferences all day, which isn't rough, you know, in and of itself. Obviously, there's no like physical exertion in that, but it's just I'm having a hard time like sitting still.
Mm.
And so I went from a conference to like get to the Homewood so that I could get with you guys to sit more still. So I need to unwind, and I'm you know, obviously this is turning into another sports app, which I'm actually fine with right now. So why don't you carry the torch for us today?
Oh goodness, I feel the weight. I'm not the positive guy. Like that's not my job, Ronnie.
Dude, I know this is uncharted territory. This is like Boogie Cousins having to be like the good guy in the locker room.
Yeah, he's,
you know what I mean?
That's literally what I was just going to say.
Well, Ted did send a text a few days ago. I feel like we need to bounce this back to you, Ronnie, real quick. And what did he ask you if you were in Pittsburgh for? What was it together for? Kent Tekulve, I believe, was their question.
Oh, for Kent Tekulve.
Have you seen any Kent Tekulve jerseys? Have you purchased one? Do you have you gone by his former residence or place of employment? Any of the above?
You know, it's weird, man. So like usually when I come to these things, because they do these things for our denom in Pittsburgh, right? And so usually you get all these churches around the Pittsburgh area and like the dudes, you know, the pastors, they come in and they're wearing all their Pirates garb and their Steelers garb and all that stuff. And there's been just like a profound, like there's been nothing. Like nobody's mentioned like any Pittsburgh sports teams. There's been no Pittsburgh sports ball. There's been no like Pittsburgh anything in regards to sports. Like I did Pittsburgh have a bad year? Like you guys know about that stuff. Like I talked.
It's just sort of mediocre across the board. I mean, the Steelers made the playoffs, and the Pirates were meh. And I don't know anything about the Penguins because that's hockey.
But I mean, but like true sports fans don't care really about how their team's doing as much as they just want to rep their team all the time.
Oh yeah, right? No, I mean, I wear my Twins hat and my Timberwolves stuff all the time, even though they are perpetually pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, Piper, every time I see you, that's all you're wearing. I mean, that's
yeah, I mean, just
down,
decked so. Out. It's like a Twins union suit. Just that's my go-to.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know how to explain that kind of stuff. You know, I'm sitting here in my classic, you know, like jeans, Adidas hoodie, you know, Chucks, feeling like the oddball. There's a lot of black, but not a lot of yellow and black, if you catch my drift.
That was strong. And, I like it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm a little perplexed right now. I don't really know what to do with boys. I don't know what to do with my day right now because, you know, I got what happens is the conference speaker. It's my job to take him out to dinner in 3 hours.
Oh,
and so there's some presh there. And I don't really know. You know, I really don't know how to roll with that.
Are you free to share a name on who this person is?
I mean, I could. I'd rather not.
Okay.
How much how much conversational like heavy lifting are you going to have to do? Is it all going to be on you?
Dude, no, it's not at all. In fact, like this dude, like, you know, he's like resident theologian, you know, he's every bit of theologian as you guys are thinking right now. But he's oddly pretty chatty and he's not so like narrow that he doesn't have other interests.
Dude, you know what's tough, man?
Yeah.
He's going to be high on the performance of the day and you're going to be like low. You know what I mean? So he'll be all buzzed off of being on stage, man, and you're going to be all low. So you got to like meet in the middle. You know what I mean?
Guys, here's what I want from you guys so that you can create my favorite three things for today. What like, okay, just picture yourself in my shoes. Like, where should I go with this guy? Like right when I sit down, give me some ideas.
Okay. Hmm.
That's a good one. So, I mean, he's a warm, congenial type of person.
He actually is for a theologian. You know what I mean? Like he's a human being for a theologian, believe it or not.
Dude, whoa.
I would explore those things which make him a human being.
All right.
And ironically enough, it's the kind of stuff we're talking about today. Like what are you consuming? What are you enjoying? Like what does your life look like when you're not like like sussing out theological issues, right?
Hey, Pipe, should I go out on a limb and like throw out that NBA trade deadline thing to him and see if he bites?
Well, you could. Here's the thing. So if you start with geography, you know, where are you from? Where did you grow up? You can go straight from that into who are your favorite teams. That's always a go-to for me. Like, oh, did you root for the, you know, he's from Texas. Oh, did you root for the Rangers or the whoever growing up? And if you don't know who the teams are, be like, oh, who was your favorite team growing up? And then you can,
here's what's ironic. He's a Minneapolis guy.
Oh, he's a Minneapolis guy. Wait, do I know this guy?
It's like, yeah, you probably ish do. You very well could. Yeah.
Okay.
So here's how you started, Big R. You talk about your shared relationship with Pipe, and you talk about Pipe's passion for Minnesota sports, and ask him if he's the same way, and see where it goes.
Nice. You know, so actually bring Pipe into it. Is that what you're saying?
Too? I would bring Pipe into it.
Yeah. I'm always a safe conversation starter. There's never any risk there. Nobody feels strongly about the last name Piper. Everything's good. Go with that.
Oh, man.
All right. Fair enough. Well, I appreciate the tips. And, you know, I'm going to wing it like I always do.
So here's,
I tend to do best when I'm winging it.
Here's another safe one. And that is, you know, come with a list of two or three places you could go to dinner unless it's already assigned to you. And you can figure out something about him by what kind of food he prefers. You know, does he like Italian food? Does he like, you know, Chinese food or like new American
food? It's already Asian. Yeah, we're already doing Asian.
Okay. Well, that's
already set. Yeah.
You can always just jump in there and be like, oh, what's your favorite? What do you like? You know, there's so many different ways to do this. And then you can go from that into like travel experiences. Oh, have you been to, I don't know, whatever, Thailand or whatever kind of food it is? And off you go.
Yeah.
So many options.
We could start talking about like Thai theology or something.
Dude, I hate doing stuff like this. This is exhausting. It's exhausting to hear you talk about having to
literally like right now I'm making you more tired, baby. All right.
Baby, my day is so bad already and it's getting worse. Why don't you tell me one thing you're enjoying, man? Let's stay on the on that train.
On the tip?
Yeah. Let's keep it on that tip.
Yeah, that's a better upbeat so we don't suck all the life out of Ted.
Judas Priest.
You know what's weird? This is what's weird for me, fellas. It's like this is the question that just literally like it just shuts me down. It's like when somebody asks me, so dude, what have you been listening to lately? And I literally, my mind goes blank. You know what I mean? I mean, I could be staring at a stack of like 200 records and all of a sudden momentarily I can't read. Like I don't even know. I don't know what to say. It just completely stumps me. And I feel like even like this question, I was thinking about this, you know, I mean, guys, what did we put into this pre-show prep? Like 3-4 hours today? Like amazing. The whole time we were prepping, I was just blanking out even as we were prepping. And so like we get to the moment and it's like, I'm even more blank. Like I don't even know. I don't know what I am liking. I don't know what I am enjoying. I mean, I want to get all existential and say, what is like, what is enjoy?
Baby, you know what I mean? Let me like, put this in front of you as a theory. What if you're not enjoying anything? And the reason I say that is,
baby, don't talk like that.
Baby, I don't think I'm really enjoying anything.
Well, not today or not.
No, not today, but not for a while. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh,
I don't know. Dude, I've seen all the
movies. You are so money and you don't even know it, man.
Baby, thank you so much, man. That means the world. But you know what I'm saying? Like, stuff doesn't thrill me like it used to.
Is it just like the dog days of February that are just the worst?
That's my question. That's
dude,
my question.
Dude, I'm not sure, but I'm just not thrilled by stuff. You know what I mean?
Hey, man, when do you get that spring break, Big T? Because that,
baby,
that's
our spring around break is like 20 minutes before the semester ends this year. It's dumb.
Oh, so it's like June.
Oh yeah, it's in like April. Seriously. So
you don't even have that to look forward to right now? Is that a beautiful baby week off?
No, man, no.
Oh, dude. All right.
I don't know, though. I'm not trying to go all like, woe is me on this thing, but like...
No, you're going dark. It's all right, man. It's dark times, you know?
I don't know. I just feel like I'm trying to communicate this thing. I feel like I'm not enjoying things like I used to. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see a movie and go, oh, that was thrilling. You know what I'm saying? And I don't look forward to stuff. I don't know. Maybe it's because I've done pretty much everything I've wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's like, not...
You've already... Yeah, you bucket listed yourself to death already.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I think some of that could be because, you know, you are not in the too distant past are coming off of, you know, working on Silverdome film.
Yeah.
And when a person gets done with a big creative project, like life does just suck.
Yeah,
like everything
there's
is
lame. There's a lull afterward.
Yeah, you don't want to read anything. You don't want to watch anything. You don't want to talk to anybody. All the music sounds, you know, like Radiohead, and it just all blows.
Yeah, because all of your creativity has been just sucked dry. That's why.
Yeah, it could
you're just
be.
Done. You've been depleted, man. You're just depleted of all the things that typically give you energy. So therefore, that energy, which is what draws you towards your enthusiasm to other things, is just not even there, man.
Yeah, yeah,
it's not even there.
Yeah,
I know.
So don't worry. You'll have an upswing where you know you'll turn on the radio one day and a song will actually sound enjoyable to you, or you'll start you'll pick up some crappy novel and realize you actually like it again for the first time in months.
You'll wake up and have an idea tomorrow.
Baby. Yeah, ideas Judas they'll happen again.
Oh, Judas Priest,
you can
so
make
hold
it.
On. So baby, let's talk about like do your students know this today? Like, do you talk to them about that, and how do they react?
Oh yeah, I talked to them about it, man. I don't know.
What do they say?
Dude, they think it's funny because they can't relate, you know?
Yeah, they can't.
They can't relate, dude. They're excited about stuff, and they should be. They're young, man. Of course they are.
Yeah, they haven't had the life beat out of them yet.
Dude, they haven't. No, they truly haven't.
And good for them.
So yeah, they have no idea, but yeah, we talk about it, dude, and it's funny. We have some ha-has over it, but you know, you laugh or you cry.
I mean, do you guys remember? See, that's weird. Okay, so here's something. So I was talking about something similar the other day with somebody, and it was this. Do you remember, like, can you visualize, like, whatever it was 20 years ago, like those moments when you hadn't gone through the stuff that we've all now been through in varying degrees? Mm-hmm. Like when there just was that sort of that, you know, even though we may have struggled, you know, feeling down and having bouts of depression, there was still that, like, there was still sort of like that elusive, like, optimism because you knew you had like a long future ahead of you.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys remember what that felt like?
Yes, dude. There was this sense that you could do whatever you wanted. And
because you hadn't done anything yet.
You hadn't done anything yet. Exactly.
And you kind of could do whatever you wanted at the time. Like, I don't so much remember how it feels, but I remember the thoughts that I had was like, oh, today I can, and just sort of like this utter blank slate freedom to,
right.
I don't know, really do whatever I wanted. And now I wake up and I'm like, oh, I have to,
right,
whatever is on the lengthy list of things that today demands of me. And I guess that's adulthood. But and then just I remember thinking thoughts like, oh, I never want a desk job, as if there's any other job besides a desk job in, you know, in the professional sphere. And so right. There was sort of the freedom to think stupid things that didn't make sense.
Oh, yeah. You could be all idealistic and dream all the time. And yeah, it's heady stuff, man. Heady stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, we should have called this episode Only the Worst Stuff.
Dude, well, all right. Well, Ronnie, maybe this will tease something up for you. I will throw out another thing that I have been enjoying because.
Yeah, throw it out there.
I wrote a book last year and went through about 6 or 9 months of I hate everything, and am just in the last couple months starting to, you know, find things that I enjoy again. So this is easier for me than for Ted. So I've lived in Nashville for 3.5 years and just recently have discovered how much amazing live music there is here all the time. And so live music is one of those things that I have been enjoying over the last month or two. And it's just kind of everywhere. So I went to a show for a band called Shovels and Rope last Sunday at the Ryman, which is always a great venue. Whoever mixed their sound was horrific, but the duo was great. A couple weeks before that, I went and saw a band called Bear's Den, who I didn't know either of these bands. Friends introduced me and were like, hey, we got tickets. We should go. And I said, okay. And they're sort of a indie rock. They're a British or Irish band. I think they're from London, so not Irish. And they're just phenomenal in person. Like, if you listen to the recording, they're good. But in person, really, really good. And then I went and hung out with my cousin at a place called the Station Inn, where on Sunday nights, they basically just have a bluegrass jam where it's a whole bunch of like old dudes in overalls and beards just jamming, like 20 of them all at once.
Kind of going all oh brother, where art thou?
Yeah. I mean, if you remember
like
the scene,
real beard guys though, none of these like hipster knockoffs.
Yeah. These are like big fat dudes in worn out overalls with a banjo that was made in 1932 that was handed down to them. And
the kind of guys that should have beards, like they earned their beards.
Yeah, and the jug that they play, they actually emptied 12 minutes ago. So these guys and the washboard that they're playing was that they actually wash their clothes on if they wash their clothes. So these are just things that I have very much enjoyed because of how eclectic they are and the fact that everything is, you know, I'm 20 minutes from a live show whenever I want to be.
Yeah.
And so does that spark anything in you, Ronnie, in terms of music that has been enjoyable to you recently?
Okay. I'm just going to go. That was, I really appreciate that, Pipe. That was good. By the way, if you could do me a favor, cause I haven't been to Nash Vegas in a while, go visit Third Man Records, which is Jack White's like vinyl shop, man. You might be able to dig that. I don't know. But you know, if you ever do, take some selfies and send them to me.
Noted. There are two things that I'm not into. One is vinyl and the other is selfies.
in that order and stereo, only those two things.
Well,
that's it.
Well, I'm not into vinyl because if I got into vinyl, I think I would spend way too much money on it and I would enjoy it too much. And there's only so many things I can spend money on, and I had to say no to that. And then selfies are dumb. So, but yeah,
all right, we'll go to Third Man Records. My offer still stands. That's what I've been digging. So I've kind of gotten on I've revinyled myself. So I've gotten back into a vinyl like buying season in my life. And so I've been ordering vinyls, I've been buying them, and we got this newly like refurbed, like sort of library nook kind of studio study thing in our house that I've just been spending a lot of time in. So it's just been really, really super fun buying vinyls. I never, ever, ever used to listen to music when I wrote. And that's been like a new thing for me. I actually put on music and I'm able to like listen to music in the background and still concentrate enough to write. And so that's like a newly acquired, like, experience for me. And it's been super fun. It's been really cool.
Do you have a specific kind of music that's better writing music, or does your writing change based on what you're listening to?
No, I can't. You know what? It's weird. Yeah. I mean, for sure. I can't do, you know, it kind of needs to be slower and kind of sad and melancholy. And it needs to be something that's almost kind of backgroundy, but it's still there and it kind of evokes some emotion, but it can't be distracting. So I like it there, but it can't be like interfering in my thoughts, but it kind of breaks through the stillness and the dryness of having nothing at all. So it's been really cool. It's been really fun.
Who is the perfect writing band for you right now, or who sort of meets that perfect triangulation of like melancholy, not distracting, but not lame either?
Okay, so there's this band called the XX, and they have a new album out, and that's kind of that kind of music. It's just really, it's a little slower, a little sadder. And then listening to the Smiths, you know, kind of fills that same same need with that. And I don't know. I'm kind of weeding through some things right now. But it's just just buying vinyls though again has been like, it's been fun for me again. So, and that was a long time coming. So
nice.
That's given me a little, so, you know, spending, I don't know, what am I spending right now? Big T, $2,000-$3,000 a week on new vinyls. I mean,
yeah. And you got four records. Yeah.
Right. Yep. I got four records out of it, and they've all been double gatefold, 180 gram, you know, but it's been great.
Exactly. So, and it's all records that you already had on like six different formats anyway,
but not that format.
Yeah. I mean, my mortgage format. is six months backed up, but I got a new, vinyl.
I think the term there is in arrears, which is a fun phrase to say. So your mortgage is in arrears.
I like that. Yeah. I forgot about that. That's old school. That's vintage. Yeah. It's a vintage phrase. You know, if you go into Third Man Records, they're going to use that phrase a lot.
Ooh, now there's a selling point. None of this selfie business.
Yeah, exactly.
Ted, what do you listen to? What do you listen to when you write? Or are you a write in silence guy?
No, it totally depends, man. It depends what I'm writing about. I like to listen to stuff that gets me into the headspace of like the person that I'm writing about, if I'm writing about somebody else. So when I was writing the Mike Tyson book, I listened to a lot of hip hop because that's what the fighters liked, and a lot of like soul stuff from the 70s, and depending on the era of the guy. Yeah, so it totally depends. Totally depends.
So when you wrote Why We Love the Church, what were you listening to?
Probably nothing, man.
Andre Crouch.
That's probably a whole lot of nothing.
That's the headspace? Just a whole lot of nothing?
Yeah, that was the headspace. Yeah.
Listening to a lot of Sandy Patty.
Oh, yeah.
It was good times. Yeah. Hey, baby, let me ask you a question, man. Maybe what have you been working on lately in terms of writing? Why don't you give our listeners some insight into that? Anything?
Baby, I'm actually going to tell you about some books that I've been reading that I've been enjoying.
And that's good. That's fair enough.
They're books that meet me in this glum, sort of bleak headspace that I'm in. And the author's called Jim Harrison. Jim Harrison wrote Legends of the Fall. That's his most famous.
I just read that. It was so good.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. I read that years ago. I've read it several times, and I reread it when you texted me and said that you were reading it. I was like, I'll read that again. And it got me totally on another Jim Harrison kick. So I was actually in Oxford, Mississippi last week, bought some more Jim Harrison books. And yeah, he's good, man. He's really lean and spare, but yeah, the style is just really it really does it for me. You know,
he's about as bleak as it gets too, which is
Yeah,
I mean, if you're feeling joyless, boy, yes. Does that reflect how you feel.
It really does, man, which I don't know if it's good for me to read those books right now. Probably not, but at least it's like I feel less alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if you're where you're at right now, trying to read like some upbeat, you know, happily ever after kind of thing, you're just going to be like, what is this garbage?
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Dude, no, that's right. And I think what I appreciate about Harrison is that he has the vocabulary to kind of articulate where I feel like I am right now. And it's good. It's helpful to read those. So Pipe, let's move on to you again.
because I haven't offered up anything yet.
How many have you done? You've done like two already. Give me your third one.
All right. So this one is, we're going way off the reservation with this. The thing that I have been very much enjoying, recently is a memory foam mattress.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are all the rage right now, aren't they?
Well, they're amazing. And there wasn't a particular company, so this is not like a sneaky product placement. I'd always slept on like your traditional whatever spring mattresses or whatever. The memory foam one, it's amazing. It's like sleeping on a cloud, except maybe that's a terrible, because cloud seems sort of cold and wet. So it's like sleeping on an awesome, dry, cozy cloud. No,
not Pipe, do you sleep? I mean, are you sleeping better with it, man?
Yeah, absolutely. And I inherited my father's bad back, where we can throw our back out by like looking at somebody funny, and then I, you know, sore neck from years of football and basketball and whatever else, and it seems to help with those things. I just wake up less stiff. So. And the other thing is, memory foam mattresses are way cheaper than other mattresses. So,
I wish we could get a sponsor like that. I feel like I listen to all the podcasts I listen to, Pipe, like, I don't know, Bill Simmons and these sports podcasts.
They have like
podcasts.
Casper mattresses or whatever.
Dude, they all have Casper mattresses, man. And it makes me want one. It really makes me want one really bad. I wish we could. We should nail down something like that as a sponsor.
That would be nice. I mean, we could probably go dig that up. I think that those are basically just like gross downloads. So like once you hit a massive threshold, they just sort of throw co-op dollars at you, and it's all kind of scripted. And we have a great listenership, but we're no Bill Simmons.
No, you're right. You're right about that.
But we actually interact with our listeners and know some of them by name, or at least I do since I'm on Twitter. So I think we're better than Bill Simmons.
I agree. And in that way we are. Big R, what's another thing you're enjoying, man? Big R, are you there?
I'm here.
Silent.
I'm here. Nothing's springing to mind.
Dude, so this begs the question, are people just getting on Trogue's podcast and just lying? You know what? Are they just coming up with crap like to get to five?
Well, no, here's the thing. Like if Ronnie alluded to the amount of show prep we do, but I recorded with Steven, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or something. And he hasn't aired it yet, probably because he's holding a grudge against me for something. But it took me like genuinely an hour of sitting down and jotting ideas down to come up with five things that I could sort of speak to actually enjoying. Sure. You know, it's not something we, you know, like most of us don't go through life thinking, I love this. Like, I just love this thing. Yeah. This is making me so happy. Yeah. So let me throw some categories at you guys and see if that sparks anything.
Well, hold on. Okay. I mean, that's true. I, well, no, no, no. This is what I mean. I think you're right, but it's like, the problem is, like, we could all list, like, some inane things that, like, we like.
But, like memory foam when mattresses? You're,
like, right, but, like, but see, that's more substance, right? So, like, when you're in this, when you're, like, doing it like the way we're doing it, you want it to be something with a little, you know, with a tad bit more substance to it rather than, well, you know, man, I've been making these strawberry milkshakes, man, and they are just yum yum. You know what I mean? Like you want it to be a
little
bit more.
That's the first time yum yum has been said on this podcast, by the way. So congratulations, Ronnie.
I know. Well, I think we might be getting a sponsorship from Yum Yum Donuts. So that's, you know, I'm trying to throw some things out there, some feelers. But that's a West Coast donut shop, by the way.
I'm familiar.
But so yeah, that's the thing. I think there's just the press of wanting it to be a little more like real rather than saying, you know, yeah, man, I've had a Snickers bar every day now for a week and it's just been fab, you know. I don't know.
That might be the first time fab has been said too. You're on a roll.
Dude, I'm breaking some rules right now, but throw out your categories.
All right,
so we can finish this podcast.
so we can be done trying to pretend enjoying things. Ted mentioned the thing, you know, he mentioned the book he had been reading that he, it's hard to tell if he enjoyed it or it just met him in his dark, dark place. But more the latter. What have you been reading, Ronnie? And has it been any good?
Dude, I've just been on a string of like Christian living / theology books. So
that sounds awful.
Yeah,
Trillia Newbell's Enjoy.
Okay, that doesn't
just,
sound as
You
awful.
Know what? I just read this book called The Way of the Dragon, The Way of the Lamb. And to me, it was one of the most impactful of those types of books that I've read probably like in a year, just talking about, you know, kind of this. It's, we've all talked about it, right? Kind of talking about like what's gone wrong with this sort of this thirst and quest for power that we see all the celeb pastors kind of chasing after and how it's gone. It's, you know, it's gone all bankrupt on them. And I feel like they wrote the book, like they did it. They delivered the goods. And it's this amazing book where they go and it tells the story of them traveling around, talking to like these like vintage wise sages, like Eugene Peterson and, you know, J.I. Packer and these kind of guys, and how these guys like led through weakness and humility. And they just in like Dallas Willard, they didn't go after like the platform. The platform kind of followed them around, but they never went for it. They resisted it in the sense that they were just faithful. They just did what they did. And Way of the Dragon or the Way of the Lamb. It was really
who wrote that? So, do you remember?
It's a Kyle, yeah, Jamin Grogan and Kyle Strobel.
Oh yeah.
It's out on Nelson. It's really good. Really, really good.
Okay.
So
yeah, I'm familiar with those names.
They conquered that topic, I think. In my opinion.
Very
so that
cool.
That was a great read for me. I was really stoked about that. So, but that, right. Those are the kinds of books I've been reading.
Yeah, you need to mix in some fiction or something, or like a memoir.
I got a stack of some. I got a stack of some fiction. I just haven't gotten to. So.
Okay, but for sure. So you should be reading more than one book at once. That's my suggestion.
You know what I'm reading and kind of enjoying.
What's that?
You ever read Breaks of the Game by David Halberstam? Quintessential old NBA book.
Yeah, it's been on my sort of to read list for a long time, but I've never actually got around to it.
Dude, it's sweet. It's really long. It's kind of boring. There's no chapters, but like it's a deep dive, man. It's a really, really deep dive into like late 70s, early 80s NBA culture.
I feel like NBA writing is consistently better than other sports. Like
that's interesting, man.
Baseball writing is usually sort of like very statistical or like sort of old school journalist, high-minded. They're kind of snobby.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Football writing is mostly non-existent as far as I can tell. There's almost no good, like just good football books about the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And then hockey doesn't count, but the NBA, just like, especially younger writers. So guys who are coming out with stuff now, so many good books about the NBA.
Do you think it's because the players are the most kind of emotionally accessible in that they're not wearing like face masks and helmets and all that?
I think that's part of it. I think, I mean, baseball is the most traditional. So it's just sort of like it's going to be stuck in the past until it's not. And and as it's progressed, the people who have latched onto it, who are younger, tend to be sort of stat nerds, not great storytellers. Mm-hmm. And then the NFL is just – it's not an accessible sport. It's sort of like this behemoth thing that we enjoy watching, but is not very accessible. And then the NBA, like I have two or three books sitting on my shelf that have been written in just in the last couple of years that are phenomenal. There's a Michael Jordan biography. There's one called Boys Among Men, which is about the guys jumping straight from high school to the pros. And,
oh, interesting.
And they're fantastic. I mean, just that one's an oral history. And then the Jordan biography is by Roland Lazenby. And I think I've talked about that one before. He's brilliant. And I think NBA writing tends to just be the best storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Pipe, that leads me to a question, man. This is kind of going a little off top. But So I grew up with baseball, right?
Uh-huh.
And I really did. I know everybody wants to laugh, and the listeners are going to think I'm lying, but I actually
When you talk about baseball from the 70s and 80s, you talk about it like a fan. You don't talk about it like you're making fun of baseball fans.
I know a little baseball. You know, I mean, when I say no, take that loosely, but I do know a little baseball, and I think one of the things that fascinates me about baseball is that it's been able to exist so completely unchanging. What do you think, like, give me one or two things that you think they could do to actually like update that sport?
See, I don't think the sport needs to be updated. It needs to be presented better.
Okay.
So the thing that baseball has done wrong, and this is part of the reason the NBA is so accessible, is because the NBA does not protect their content. They're like, by all means, post GIFs, post videos, post whatever, and just YouTube. If you go on YouTube and look up NBA highlights, they're everywhere. MLB is constantly trying to rein that stuff in. And so in an age when popularity is based on clicks and views and shareability and social media, MLB is just shooting themselves in the foot.
Why is MLB so – why are they so scared? Like why are they literally just like enmeshed in tradition the way they are? Why?
I'm part of the Southern Baptist Convention through work, and I would draw a lot of parallels between the people who run Major League Baseball and traditional Southern Baptists. And without digging into that too much, for the sake of not offending anybody, I'll just leave that comparison there and think, if you go to a church that's 125 years old, imagine trying to change things there. Welcome to Major League Baseball. It's just utter fear of newness and change, and then a complete disconnect from what anybody under the age of 50 likes. I mean, that's still the generation that'd be like the young folks, you know, the young people love the Twitters. That's baseball. So I love the game of baseball. I think it's fantastic, but I hate the way Major League Baseball runs stuff. They're terrible.
I mean, do you think, are you like one of those too many games, too many innings guys?
It's baseball. Like the point of it is, I mean, baseball is like golf. It's not going to be better by going faster. The point of it, or like part of the appeal of it, is sort of that methodical, slow aspect to it. There's not many parts of life that have that sort of pacing. And so trying to make it like pack more action into less time, like that's not what baseball is. Baseball doesn't even have a time limit. Feasibly a game could go on for 9 days if you can't get to 27 outs. But that's part of the structure of the game. So no, I don't think they need to change all that stuff. I think TV has messed some things up because they sort of bake in some gaps where they don't need it and things like that. But they spend so much time trying to shorten games. And all they're doing is shaving off 27 seconds here and 3 seconds there and whatever else. And what they really need to do is be like, oh, guess what? We have an incredible crop of under 25 talent who nobody knows. Nobody knows what Chris Bryant looks like or Mike Trout or Carlos Correa or Jose Altuve or any of these guys who are phenomenal baseball players who don't get any publicity because MLB sucks at marketing. That's what I think.
Hey, Big T, here's my question, man. So I've never really heard you talk a lot about baseball. Do you have a little bit of a complicated relationship with MLB there, Big T?
No, it's not complicated, man. It's just here's what it is. I really like being in the building for it, whether it's MLB or minor league or whatever. We have a minor league team here, the Jackson Generals. I love going to do that. I just like being in the building for it. I don't watch it on TV. To me, going to a baseball game, it's like taking a walk. You know what I mean? Like some people go on a hike, like they go out on a trail with a friend, and they chat. To me, that's what baseball is. Like I go with a friend or with my kids or whatever, and we just sit and we chop it up, you know? And that's
which kind of reminds me of some of our time in Toledo.
Yeah, Toledo, baby. The excess and the decadence and all the.
Tell our listeners about that night. Well, what did we do that night, Big T?
Baby, it was a magical night. We had just completed some very glamorous author work in Toledo, which is a very glamorous city if you've never been. It's really a beautiful place, isn't it?
Just magnificent.
It really is magnificent. It's hard to talk about. It's really hard to put it into words, but
yeah, I can tell you are both gifted wordsmiths and writers, and you don't have the words for it.
We're both men of letters, and we're having trouble. But we took a walk downtown in Toledo, happened upon a baseball stadium where the Toledo Mud Hens play. The Mud Hens are the Triple A Yankees affiliate, and because some people must have, they must have just recognized us as publishing stars.
Oh, I mean, unarguably, yeah.
They must have known us from our books. They just, they shoved some free tickets into our hands, and we went in and we enjoyed a Toledo Mud Hens game down in the box seats like a couple of gentlemen.
See, yeah, that sounds amazing to me. Now, not the Toledo part, but like the Mud Hens, because they are a classic minor league team. They're like the Durham Bulls on sort of the level of traditional amazing minor league clubs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, they really are. They're an institution. So, yeah, that was a good night, baby. I could use a night like that now. You know what I mean?
I was just going to say, I know you could, man. And I wish we were there, and I wish we were doing that tonight all together.
Judas,
I think that would too. I think that would restore you. I think it would bring some healing to what's going on in your life right now.
I think it would too. Yeah. I couldn't agree more, Bigar. Absolutely. Mm.
Let's think about this. Maybe let's put some feet on that. Let me think about that.
Boys, I got to go in a minute, but let's do one more. Let's each do a movie. All right?
Yes. Mm. Ted, do you want to go first? Do you have one lined up?
I do. I got one. I got one ready. It's called Safety Not Guaranteed. Have you guys seen this or heard of it?
No, I have not.
Horrible title, man. Terrible title. But this was a small, tiny budget movie that had Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Rec was in it. She was kind of the only big name in the movie. The guy who made the movie was Mark Duplass, I think, was the filmmaker. He also starred in it. But it's about it's a just quirky little movie about time travel and romance, and so good, man, so sharp. Like the kind of movie that you watch and you get to the end of it and you go, I wish I'd written that, you know, that kind of thing. But what about you, Pipe? What do you got?
Well, let's see. I think the movie that has stuck with me over the last few months is just the best movie I've seen is Manchester by the Sea. And it is an astoundingly good movie. And if you are in a dark, miserable place, it is just the movie for you.
I'm going to watch it.
Because it is depressing and it is dark and it's redemptive without solving any problems. Not going to give any spoiler alerts here, but, it's brilliant. And Casey Affleck's performance in it is the money. He's so good.
I like him.
It's amazing to me how much better he is as an actor than his older brother.
Yeah, he really is, man. He's very versatile.
He can be hilarious in movies. I mean, he's got great comedic timing and everything. But in this one, he plays this depressed, just sort of wrung out character, and he does it really, really well. So I think that's the one that I would go back and see again, just because of how brilliantly written and acted it was. It was so good.
Nice. Big R, what about you? You got a movie?
Yeah, I got one that I really want. I was talking to Pipe about this, off the air the other day. I haven't seen it yet, but I really want to see Fences.
Ooh, like, it's
I'm
a
just
good
fascinated
one.
By that. Yeah, and I like Denzel, and I like Viola Davis, and
that is a hard movie to watch. Is it Denzel and Viola Davis are both brilliant in it, but it's hard because it's just they tap into so many different sort of just difficult relationships and deep kind of dark aspects of people's souls and things like that. And it's just like painful circumstance after painful circumstance. But both of those actors were phenomenal in it. I think she should win best actress for it. If I was voting, she would get my vote.
Mm. Yeah. Big T, have you seen that?
No, I haven't, man. I haven't, but I wanted to. So it's on the list. So.
Yeah, I want to see Hidden Figures. There's like a few movies out there that I haven't seen yet. I'd like to see Manchester by the Sea too. I got like three or four on the on the old list that I haven't weeded through. Here's the problem, boys, is I got a wife, believe it or not, that doesn't really enjoy the movies. It's kind of weird. I'm kind of a solo guy at the movies when I go, believe it or not. So we
have gotten a couple requests on Twitter for thoughts on La La Land. I know you have seen it, Ronnie. We've discussed this. Ted, we tried to convince you to see it, and you said you don't like musicals. But so that give us the 30-second Ronnie take on La La Land.
Well, okay, so it was, you know, it was definitely a movie from a bygone era in the sense that it's a musical, but it's not like a modern musical. It's a musical that was trying to evoke like a, you know, Days Gone By. So all the songs kind of have
like
this,
Singing,
you know,
in the
30s,
Rain,
40s,
kind of
like Singing in the Rain, you know, and it's a romance. I mean, it really, it to me, and again, everybody's gonna have a different take on how they define this, but it definitely took some darker for me turns than some of the movies from yesteryear took. And it was very, very, you know, as you like to say, Pipe, it was very redemptive.
Yes. I love that phrase.
There was an underlying, to me, there was just an underlying melancholy and sadness and what might have been. And those are movies that just, it was really tragic feel. Like,
sounds
really, I mean, Big T, you should really maybe or maybe not go see that like immediately when we're done.
That was a definitive, you know, statement. I mean? You should maybe do this or maybe not.
Maybe I may or may not do that. But what I know I'm going to do is go teach my class now. So how's that for a segue? Segueing myself out of the program. Yeah.
Guys, can we just admit that I never want to do another ep like this, even though everything that everybody has heard up to this point was completely pre-planned, by the way.
Totally scripted, all of it. Like
yeah, all of it, scripted. Just so everybody
Boys,
knows.
We've wandered to and fro. It has brought us no joy. But until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. Resonate has helped us with our editing and mastering pretty much from the beginning of the podcast. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Mark and Jake do a fantastic and timely job with all sorts of podcast services. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast.
Hello, I'm Adam Comer.
And I'm Ryan Chittister.
And we are the host of Life After Addiction podcast. What we believe is that addiction is not a surprise to God.
That's right. We discuss addiction from a biblical worldview and how true freedom comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Absolute freedom from addiction, the secular worldview of once an addict, always an addict, is just not true. If you or someone you love struggles with addiction, subscribe to Life After Addiction at lifeaudio.com.